the Steve Gerber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Love this song. 10cc and the Things We Do for Love. One of the bands managed by Harvey Lisberg in the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s, and even 90s. Harvey Lisberg has a brand new book, I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's Hermits, and many more. He joins us. We continue with him here on the Steve Gerber Show. Harvey, before we sort of push forward from this era, take us through 1967. So 1967, Herman's Hermits has its last top 10 U.S. hit, and there's a kind of hush. 1967, Herman's Hermits are touring with The Who across America. Graham Goldman is writing these songs that would become famous for other artists. You're managing one of the top bands in the world, one of the top songwriters in the world. What was 1967 like for you?
Heavy. I think it was, I sometimes say that it was just ridiculous. I could do no wrong. Even if I was at a roulette wheel, I'd find I was winning. Gamblers lose ultimately, but that was the time I didn't lose. And it was just astonishing. Every single thing we did seemed to turn to gold. And it had to turn eventually. And with Peter Noon, it got different. He then went into Peter Noon on his own, had a hit with Oh You Pretty Things, which was on David Bowie's first album. And David Bowie appeared with Peter on Top of the Pops because of the BBC kind of being forced by the musicians' union to use people that were on the record. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. And David Bowie came in with a kind of a dress on. It was hysterical. Peter singing, Oh, You Pretty Thing. So, it was amazing. I was on top of the world.
But before
nothing could go wrong. And it did afterwards.
Yes. Later on. It usually does at some point. Talking with Harvey Lisberg, his book is I'm Into Something Good, My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's Hermits, and many more. The many more nearly included a very big name, Queen. And tell us a bit about that, how that nearly happened with you and Peter Grant managing Queen.
Peter and I decided we were going to join forces and manage Queen because Queen were looking for management. So I arranged a meeting with myself, Peter, Jim Beach, who was the accountant then, and the four members of Queen. Mm-hmm. Initially, I'd spoken to Roger Taylor a few times and got him Wimbledon tickets and got to know him quite well. Got to know him more than a stranger. And in the meeting, I thought, well, this is a double. We'll just go in there and they'll agree to we can sign them. Peter has the biggest band in the world, Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. I handle Herman's Hermits and 10cc. How can they reject us? But apparently, Peter Grant was forming a record label called Swan Song, mm-hmm. and I think he wanted them on his label. And I think that might have affected the conclusion that they were going to appoint John Reed as their manager, who they slung out after 2 years. And subsequently, Jim Beach, who was the accountant at the meeting, stayed their manager for the next 30 years. Charming fellow. And that was the story. Again, if I'd have managed Queen with the advent of Freddie and what happened, that would have been a really traumatic ride. That would have been.
Yeah.
But I think he's the best showman of the last. Well, Elvis and I always say Elvis and Freddie Mercury were the best showman of the last century.
If you managed Queen, you would have had to write an even longer book. I'm Into Something Good is the book. My Life Managing 10cc, Herman's Hermits, and many more. Here in the U.S., Harvey, 10cc largely is known for those two big songs, I'm Not in Love and The Things We Do for Love, and they're played very often. But they didn't cross over, in the way that Herman's Hermits didn't have this big, massive U.S. Success necessarily. And I'm just
unfortunately,
wondering,
that is partly their own fault because we were offered an Eagles tour.
That's right, yeah.
As opening act, but they refused to do it because the sound wouldn't be right. Their theory was they didn't really care what they looked like. People were going, they were going to hear them. So their theory was we get the sound as good as it could be. And the sound was very good. Nobody's denying that. But when I go to see a show, I don't care if a few notes are flat. I don't care if something goes wrong. It's part of a live atmosphere rather than the clinical thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they missed out tremendously on that. And the only time they ever were opening act was at Nebworth in 1977.
The story that begins the book.
Yeah, the four of them played their last gig there.
Yeah. Managing Herman's Hermits, which is, I'll just sort of, you know, quick and dirty say, managing a band that is a performing band like Herman's Hermits, and then managing 10cc, which is a very creative project, especially with Kevin and Lowell and what they were doing, what they would go on to do after 10cc split in half.
True.
How do you compare managing a performing band like Herman's Hermits with a really creative band like 10cc?
Well, in Herman's Hermits' defense, they were never given a chance by Mickey to develop the musical prowess, which they did have, but they just never got a sniff. So that was it. 10cc, from a managerial point of view, was a picnic because we didn't have to look for songs.
Yeah.
We weren't dependent on producers, and we weren't dependent on record companies. We just delivered the stuff, and they had to put it out. So that was the beauty of that. But the next step up is to have a band that does that and, like Queen, performs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, but it was great for me. Well, the next thing I did was I thought, right, well, I've got to get a stadium band that sells out 80,000 like Pink Floyd that doesn't need singles, because basically 10cc was more of a singles band, although they did wonderful albums.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have the grassroots following that all the others had worked up by working and working and working. And not being worried about the sound necessarily, but to get on with it, get the public behind them. It didn't happen. So they didn't achieve the potential. And when you think what Kevin Lowell did with the videos afterwards,
yes. Yeah.
The potential of what they could have done visually, even with the mind boggles, it's just they could have been probably the biggest band in the world, certainly in the top three.
It's a wonderful read, full of great stories from music over the past, you know, 40, 50 years, going back to Herman's Hermits in the early 1960s. And it's available now at Amazon.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
The pandemic has made it clear. If you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.